How many of you ever have read a comic book when you were younger? Or even now? Hands up. Those who like comic books. All right. Did any of you ever read Donald Duck? How many of you remember Scrooge McDuck? All right. Scrooge McDuck. You remember he used to be there counting his money in the comic book pages? How many of you met Scrooge McDuck in real life? No longer on the duck farm, but having lots of money. Well, I think we all have met Scrooge McDuck somewhere along the way. And for those of us who are younger, it was a parody on how people who had a lot of wealth. And it was probably drawn at a time in the first in the 1930s during the Depression in the last century. Almost 100 years ago, about 85 years ago. And it was talking about how some people had lots and lots and lots of physical wealth, but so many people across North America and around the world were suffering in the midst of the Depression. People were going house to house. Some people had to actually go without for long periods of time. People would jump on open boxcars and ride across the country trying to find work, trying to find money. Some of you may have had relatives at that time who suffered in the Depression. At the same time as people were suffering, a minority of people were doing very well. And sometimes the people who were doing very well look down at those who suffered. And it's still that way to a certain degree today. I remember a number of years ago when I didn't really realize I was naive. I knew there was rich and poor, of course. And I knew that sometimes the rich were very rich and the poor were very poor. When I was in my first parish, I can remember going out and getting food from some of the more affluent people of my congregation and taking it to people who lived in a little place called Jamvrens Island. And Jamvrens Island is off the island of Cape Breton in Nova Scotia. And there people were laying six in a bed to sleep. They were laying this way, crossways, not lengthways, in the bed. And they had virtually no food at all. And it was heartbreaking. And I remember that. But later on in my ministry, I went to Ottawa and was in youth ministry. And one day, it was in youth year, I got invited to go to the Laurier Club in Ottawa. And I went into the Laurier Club along with my host. And I heard somebody come down the stairs looking at me and saying in a loud enough voice, "Huh. I didn't know they started letting the riffraff come in here." And I was in a suit, and I think I had my clerics on. I don't remember. But it really was decimating. And I really felt some people felt they were better than others because of the wealth they possessed. But you know, one of the greatest... I'm not a great fan of Billy Graham. But one of the greatest things that Billy Graham ever said was, "You'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse." And there's a lot of truth in that. Death is a great equalizer. So where is our wealth? What makes us rich? In other parts of the scripture, Jesus says, "Remember the lilies of the field. They neither sow nor they reap, but there's nothing so better arrayed in garment than the lily." And it's a memory to us that God wants us all to have enough and wants us all to be looked after. But there is a high degree that we shouldn't be super poor nor super rich. And if we find ourselves in our life chasing after wealth of this earth and forgetting the wealth of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, then we have a problem. And we have that in our lives. Now, I know you are, in a sense, the choir, and I'm not going to preach to the choir. You already get this. But how do we deal with it when we find it around us? And how do we deal with it when somebody puts us down because we are upholding the gospel of Jesus Christ? Sometimes people will go at us from their own point of view, and we'll have to put up with hearing a lot of stuff that makes us cringe inside. You don't have to turn the TV on and watch the news for more than 10 minutes before maybe you're cringing inside by what people have done or what they say. But in life every day we find this happening. How do we respond as Christians? Do we attack? Do we act as if we had very thin skins? Do we act as if we are called to defend God? No. Our God, the God of the universe, is strong and powerful and present with us all and all of God's creation. God lives within each of us and amongst us. So I invite you not to feel defensive when you hear things that are offensive, but just to listen and remember that you at that moment in time, for some reason only known to God, you are a lightning rod and you're hearing that person's discharge of lightning. And we are to be grounding rods and let it flow through us into the earth. We know that we follow not a God of revenge, but a God of love. And that our values are based in love and inclusion and forgiveness and reconciliation. That's who we are. And so my advice is, don't take the bait. Don't take the bait, because it starts to make us look somehow stupid. And we are not stupid. We are intelligent, lovely, restored people of God, who God loves. And that somebody is discharging their emotions. And my best response is, after I've heard it for a while, say to the person, "Are you feeling better now?" I didn't engage in their battle. I just asked them, "Are you feeling better?" And then they don't know what to do. Always remember that an emotion is a spontaneous internal response to a person, place, or situation. And emotions have no morality. No morality. They are like taste. They add to the moment, or take away, but they are not a value. Our values are something else. Our values are something where we make our own decisions. We've made a value decision to follow Jesus. We've made a value decision to know that we are loved and that God loves us and that we are called to love one another. We are called in a value way to be inspirational in who we are and how we live our lives. But also to be forgiving. Every one of us in here has made mistakes. None of us are exempt. About the only ones that haven't made too many mistakes, those little kids that went out to church just now. The rest of us, every pencil I buy, I'll only buy it if it has an eraser on the end. Because I know I have to erase mistakes that I make. But we have to see that in ourselves, for ourselves, and for others. Our values are not based on the values of this world. Jesus, in the parable that we heard about in the gospel today, is really criticizing the farmer who built the big barns. Not just because he sat back and I'm going to, eat, drink, and be merry kind of attitude, but also because he wasn't satisfied with the barn he had and thought he was going to be a glutton and take more than his share. It would have been much more powerful had he left the barns where they were and gave his surplus crop to those who need. That's really what's implied in this parable. We often forget that. But we are to share. Luke is also the author of the book of Acts. It's only separated because Luke ran out of papyrus and had to start a new papyrus. And that became the book of Acts. But in there you will see that the focus of Luke is he was inspired by Jesus, that we are to share our resources. And I often think, just as some people have never read the U.S. Constitution, some people have never read the book of Acts. We are called to share what we have. And that's the spirit behind what we've heard today. Now, I'm excited to be here because we are a sharing community. We have shared to give support to a person who had no family. We have shared our resources to help people who are coming out of war-torn Syria. We are a sharing community, and I'm encouraging you today to keep it up. We are living the Christian way. And I encourage others that when they go at you about resourcing, say, what are you sharing? What are you sharing of the resources you have and the gifts you've been given with others? Some people have a natural gift of raising money. As a funny aside, I mean, I work with people who are coming out of their addictions. And they, in their own high addiction, sometimes were raising $5,000 a day. Now, I don't like the way they raised it, but they were raising money. Some people have the gift of raising. But if you raise the money, share the money. We are called to share. We are called to love. We are called to be a people of love and reconciliation. And so today, on this middle Sunday weekend of the year, in the middle of the summer, I invite us to understand that we are called to love. We are called to share. And we are called to not just be grasping. Those with the toys are the winners is not the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus is to love from our hearts, to give from our hearts, to love ourselves and to love others. May God bless us all on our Christian journey of love and truth and reconciliation. And may we receive the sacrament to know it's symbolic of the outpouring of Jesus for the world, for us. And that we are called to receive this, to be inspired by that, and to go out and share in love in many ways with others. Amen.